Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Tonight, we will be celebrating Yuletide in a unique way. We are going to examine traditions connected with Santa and Krampus, also known to some as the Yuletide Beast. Yuletide is a term that is most often applied to multiple days and nights around the time of winter solstice, rather than specifically the day and evening of winter solstice itself. Across cultures through the ages, winter solstice celebrations have taken a variety of forms, but one of the consistent ways for celebration has to do with multiple days and nights, for actually a process, a time period, a holiday season, when people do the greeting, Happy Holidays. That's an excellent way of greeting people for this season, because there are a variety of holidays that are connected with the Yuletide. In some parts of the world, including the United States of America, where we're broadcasting from, there is a multicultural, multilingual, at times, international and interreligious dynamic to the Yuletide season. The earliest connections with Yuletide go back to ancient pagan times. In different parts of the world, Yuletide was known by a variety of different names. In Europe, Yule was a term that was common amongst the Norse, others in Scandinavia, Northern Europe. But the Saturnalia was the name given to this holiday period in ancient Rome. As Christianity took hold of Europe and became the dominant religion, old pagan ways associated with celebrating winter solstice were adopted and woven into Christmas celebrations. When I use the word Christmas as synonymous with Yuletide, it's in a interreligious and multicultural way, rather than specifically talking about Christian Christmas, which in the Western Church is December 25th. Tonight, we're going to take a look at some old pagan traditions connected with winter solstice, including some depictions of winter solstice in the form of mythic and legendary characters and divinities. And these ancient ways and ancient characters continue on into contemporary times, not only in 21st century America, but in this globally, cyberly connected world in many places on the planet. We're going to look specifically to gift givers that are connected with Santa, also known as Saint Nicholas or Santa Claus, and another character who some say is the shadow of Santa, the Krampus. Tonight, December 4th, is the eve of Krampusnacht or Krampus Night. And in ancient times in Austria, and actually now in different parts of the world, U.S. and other countries, Krampus has caught on. So it's more than Austria, Bavaria, many parts of Germany and Eastern Europe, Alpine regions, there is Krampus activities and activities that share a lot in common with Krampus. Who is Krampus? Krampus is what I call, along with others call it, the Yuletide Beast, typically seen as at least part Yuletide goat and part fierce beast. Some say the Krampus is a kind of devil or demon or so. But if you really look at the roots of the Krampus, it's really coming from more of a shamanistic, animalistic kind of power animal form. Some say that Krampus has the origins as a personification of the harshness of winter. Some say that Krampus is a defender of people against the harshness of winter. As Christianity became more prevalent across Europe, and as humankind evolved a variety of Christmas practices, Krampus, who originally was all pagan, got linked in with the Saint Nicholas celebrations. Today, not only in the Netherlands, but other parts of Europe and parts of the world, there is Saint Nicholas Day, which is December 6th, and this is working with Santa in the form of the Christian Bishop of Myrna, and who is known for charity work and benevolence, a mythic figure. And St. Nicholas Day is the feast day, the Christian feast day of St. Nicholas, and the name Santa Claus actually is a variation of St. Nicholas. So Nicholas turns into Claus and Saint turns into Santa. The night before St. Nicholas Day is the Krampus Night or Krampusnacht. And this is the night when Santa's shadowy enforcer counterpart roams the streets of villages and towns and the countryside, there to punish those who have been naughty. Whereas St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, rewards those who have been nice. So with the Krampus-Santa duo, you have the punishment model with Krampus and the reward model with Santa. Some say that Santa himself actually has pagan roots as well. And from my research into Santa origins, I have found this to be the case. In Scandinavian pagan ways and lore, you had some roots of Santa today and Santa in even medieval times were father god figures, sky god figures. So you had Odin and his eight-legged horse Sleipnir transforming into Santa with eight reindeer in the mythology and the legends of Yuletide today. Thor is also connected with Santa and the Krampus because Thor had as a symbol the Yule goat. Now, in some Scandinavian countries, the Yule goat took a variety of forms, and in some parts there were Yule boys, and these Yule figures sometimes were mischievous and sometimes they were gift bringers. So what we have today is a real composite of Yuletide traditions from different places across time that through the wonders of cyber technology and the sharing of artwork and music and narratives and lore, historical accounts of legends and customs, as well as blogs in which people share their own experiences and opinions, we have a real convergence of the diversity of Yuletide, of traditions of gift-bringing, of revelry, of personifications of mythic and magical forces. One of the traditions that dates back into the olden times in Europe, and that is enjoying a resurgence now at different parts of the world, is that of Krampus runs. So on the evening of December 5th, figures of the Yuletide beast Krampus are widespread in villages and in towns. Indeed, there are Krampus parades, there's Krampus parties in the street, there are Krampus dramas, there are Krampus runs, and usually there is some inebriation in the form of alcohol that accompanies these Krampus night experiences. Now, a related tradition, but actually connected with a form of an ancient European goddess named Perkta or Berkta. Holda is one of her forms, but this is more of the crony, darker side of the goddess Holda, the winter solstice goddess. There's something known as the Perchten. And this was an ancient pagan festival that was in Austria, and people would dress up in these animalistic outfits, and they would drive out the so-called devils of winter. It's a way of warding off disease and starvation and harm as winter deepens and approaches. It's a way of doing some release work for the community. Well, Krampus gatherings have some similar purposes. What are Krampus night celebrations like today? Some people will be dressing up as versions of Krampus. And one of the old traditions is that each person who chooses to be a Krampus creates their own kind of costume. And this typically takes the form of fur or fake fur or animal skins, leggings on the lower part of the body, upper part of the body, some type of covering so one really looks beastly. And then there's the mask and the horns on the head. And we're talking major horns for Krampus figures. Horns can be inspired by a variety of different animals. I've seen Krampus horns that are kind of like antelope-like, very long and pointy. I've seen horns that curl, and short horns, long horns, essentially. The horned beast can take so many different kinds of forms, and part of that has to do with the particular part of the world where the Krampus activities are taking place. Part of it has to do with the inclination of the person who's putting the costume together. And certain symbolisms and traditions. You can go out on the internet and you can Google Krampus Night and you can see some photos from past Krampus Nights in various towns in Germany and Austria and other parts of Europe. And you can also see photos of people in other parts of the world, including the United States. In Wisconsin, on Krampus Night, people gather in a theater, and some of those who are present are dressed up as Krampus characters. I learned about this by attending a Krampus night workshop a little over a year ago, and I had a chance to talk with two people that play Krampus. Now, traditionally, in older times, it was young men who took on Krampus costumes and would run around town and wreaking havoc and attempting to frighten the populace, especially children. And yet, in contemporary times, the two people doing the Krampus workshop, one was female, one was male. And their costumes were quite fabulous and distinct from each other. So people get together in some communities such as Milwaukee, and they'll be indoors, and then there'll be an outdoor portion where people will actually be running in the streets. And then returning to wherever the gathering place is and having a party. So there's a lot of different forms for the Krampus night. In some places, St. Nicholas shows up as well as Krampus. And St. Nicholas may even signal the start of a Krampus run. And yes, imagine hundreds of humans dressed as Yuletide beasts running in the streets on a winter's night, as a kind of celebration of the Yuletide season. Some things to keep in mind about Krampus and Santa have to do with psychological programming. Now, some people have expressed concerns about Krampus activities, and concerned especially because Krampus is known for capturing and carrying off naughty children as punishment for being naughty, that this could create some upsetment with the youth. Of course, other people say this is all a kind of play, and that actually, psychologically, it's a kind of release valve. So there's, I guess, kind of a continuum of opinions regarding, well, should we have Krampus activities or not? How intense should they be? Now, at various times within the legacy of Krampus Night, there have been efforts to suppress or to stop the Krampus Night and to stop Krampus. Some parts of the Catholic Church have tried to ban Krampus from their areas. And when fascists were in control of parts of Europe during World War II, they too tried to stop the Krampus activities and Krampus Night. I do think part of that has to do with kind of the pagan spirit, the wild, animalistic, shamanistic creature energy that's kind of a wild man motif that's inherent in Krampus activities. Well, despite attempts by various institutions and regimes to stop out Krampus, it has not worked. It's continuing to be beloved by many people, and in fact, it has been enjoying quite a resurgence in the last decade. Now, over time, in addition to people dressing in costumes and showing up in public spaces, there have been other Krampus Night associations and customs. And one of the customs is the exchange of Krampus cards. Well, people have heard of Christmas cards, Yule cards, holiday greeting cards. Well, yes, there is a tradition of exchanging Krampus cards. In fact, in my collection of Yuletide characters, I have a reproduction of an old Krampus card that was exchanged many years ago. Another thing about Krampus has to do with community convergence and enjoyment. It's a kind of entertainment. And I do think that's part of why Krampus has continued not only to exist in many places, but is actually branching out and being in even more places in the world. Many people are seeking to create unique holidays, memories, to have alternatives to some forms of Christmas and winter solstice and other Yuletide celebrations. And clearly, dressing up as Krampus or attending a parade or a run in which there are multiple people dressed up as Krampus can be an amazing way to mix up the Yuletide traditions and holidays. I do think for Yuletide, it's important to keep some traditional practices as part of one's own evolving celebration of Yuletide so that there is some continuity. But I also think it's essential to evolve customs, to evolve characters, to have interactive experiences, to try some new things. And certainly Krampus has been making quite a comeback, in part because as people are understanding winter solstice and the concept of celebrating it multiple days, or like some of us, the whole month of December and going into early January, well, this could be a fun addition. Now, most Krampus celebrations happen earlier in December, and part of the reason for that has to do with St. Nicholas Day. Some people will have Krampus night on the Saturday night closest to St. Nicholas Day. Other people have it on the actual night of December 5th. And indeed, in Wisconsin, the various Krampus groups that are doing celebrations tend to have it on the actual night. So gift giving as a tradition, we know from some ancient records that people have been exchanging gifts at winter solstice time for thousands of years. And Santa is seen in a number of different guises, but gift bringer is hardwired into his psyche. He often is seen carrying gifts in a large bag. And these are toys made by elves up at the North Pole, according to some of the lore. When we look at Krampus and how Krampus presents himself, there is a wooden mask, or for contemporary forms, it may not be wooden carved, it may be some other fashion mask. There are the horns, and often there is a sack or some kind of back harnessed holder where kids that have been naughty can get scooped up and whisked away. Now, in some places, the Krampus beasties are allowed to really get in the face and interact with people who are there as observers of the Krampus run. In other cases, there's really some strict rules about touching and being in personal space. The idea of Krampus in St. Nicholas is not just to reward the living with gifts, St. Nicholas, but it is attempting to prevent bad behavior by putting a bit of fear about Krampus and Krampus coming to capture those who are forgetting the holiday or that are engaged in some problematic activity. So you have Santa, good cop, Krampus, bad cop, using the dualistic cop motif. You also have the image of Santa being so benevolent, compassionate, giving, and very immersed in charity work. So that Santa figure just totally being open, well, many people find it's essential for balance to add to a celebration, to add to a legend, to add to a lore. And indeed, the Krampus got grafted onto St. Nicholas Day. And as with so many things from the past in which old pagan festivals, our Sabbaths, were Christianized, the celebrations continued, but under a thin, usually very thin, Christian veneer. And often the pagan celebration, or the most pagan part of the celebration, happened the night before. Well, clearly that has been the case with the Krampus night. And Halloween, or Samhain, is another example of the Eve of All Saints and All Souls Day, which is, that's November 2nd. You have All Hallows Eve, or Samhain. So the idea of having something a bit more paganistic the night that festivities begin, and then shifting the mindset and the way of being, is something that is being done in the here and now by a variety of different people. What are some things to learn from Santa and Krampus traditions? First of all, these are long-standing traditions. Many of the traditions that you would encounter have roots in the ancient past. Two, that there's diversity in terms of how these characters are related to, when the gift giving that's associated happens, who gets gifts, and how do the gifts get divided up. There's a lot of variability with that. A third thing has to do with the degree to which one really wants to embrace an alternative way of celebrating Yule. Some people start slowly and decide that they'll collect some Krampus memorabilia and perhaps do a bit of dressing up as the Krampus. But those who have been involved with this over time, they often will be much more blatant in their dress and the things that they do. So what are some components to the Krampus outfit? We not only have the fur or some semblance of leggings for the legs and fur, some semblance of protective gear on the top for the arms and everything, but you also have Krampus having some birch twigs, strong birch twigs that are used to switch naughty children. And Krampus has a bag or a wire basket that he carries on his back to scoop up those who have been problematic and to haul them off to his lair. Now, where is his lair? Well, here again, it depends on where you are and how the Krampus Night event is being organized. Another thing that Krampus has as very long-standing characteristics has to do with bells. Bells of different types. Jingle bells, big jingle bells, cowbells. Bells are sewed into the costume for a Krampus. You can literally hear the Krampus coming. And in addition to bells, often there are chains. These may be chains that the Krampus figure has rooted to a particular place, or it may be symbolic chains connected with things that one wants to dispel from life or release from life. Krampus and Santa sometimes make appearances not only on Krampus night, but Krampus Day and St. Nicholas Day. Indeed, the idea of people putting forth, it's usually shoes rather than stockings, to get treats from Santa, that is something that's a long-standing custom that continues to be done today. And Santa would bring sweets and sometimes little presents and put them in the shoes that are set out for Santa to come and fill. Santa and Krampus can be fun additions to one's own personal celebration of Yule. Some ways to do this. One would be to get some images of Santa and Krampus and to use them as part of holiday decorations. It could be 2D, you know, images of paintings, photographs taken of people dressed up as Krampus. It could be something that's 3D sculpted. The idea is that you give these mythic creatures some form and to have them present at your home. Another way to celebrate Santa and Krampus traditions is to tell stories on Krampus night about Santa and about Krampus. Now, these can be traditional tales, or they can be a narrative that you've created yourself as a result of Krampus and Santa research. A third thing to do is to have a party where one or more people dress up as Krampus, and that you also have a St. Nicholas on hand to have some giftings. Often the Krampus is associated with coal and with switches, birch switches in particular. And those who were nice children and have done good behavior on St. Nicholas Day will get some treats. Those who have not behaved well will get some punishment. And that's usually the form of some kind of image. And sometimes it takes the form of interacting with an actual Krampus figure. Having a Krampus night as part of your Yuletide celebrations can be a really powerful time to pass on some of the legends and the lore of this old woman from the countryside. And it can be a real opportunity to connect with people from different age groups and different approaches to exploring the unknown. Some people have set some old Christmas carols to Krampus carols, and I haven't checked to see if there's any on YouTube, but I imagine there may be I was able to see some performers do some music that was connected with Krampus Night, and part of that took the form of some old Christian hymns and giving them some additional verses that are specifically about Krampus. Telling the story of Krampus and Saint Nicholas is something that can evolve over time. Tell bits of the story, and then as you learn more, being able to elaborate the story from year to year. Having a party and calling it Krampus Night is what a number of people do. And I think going to an organized Krampus Night is another way of being able to celebrate this unique Yuletide festival time. One of the things about the Yuletide is that you can start it at different points in the month of December. Some of us start it late November or by the 1st of December. And as you look at some European traditions for celebrating Yuletide, and Yuletide is a term that not only has been applied to winter solstice, but it's also applied to Christmas and New Year's. And so being able to celebrate this holiday in a time-release form, I think, makes a lot of sense, that there are different points within the month of December, for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, that we not only celebrate winter solstice, but it's a welcoming in of the winter. It's a deepening of our understanding of each other and of ourselves. What's ahead for Krampus and Santa? Well, Santa is as popular as ever. Many people will encounter, as they're doing their Yuletide shopping, personifications of Santa. Well, along those lines, some people are taking on the Krampus form, having Krampus events, and as part of Krampus events, giving others the chance to get photographed by a Krampus figure as a holiday memory. Do you include Krampus as part of your celebrations? How do you describe that to others? Clearly, there's a lot of choice for each decision regarding spiritual practice and Yuletide practice in particular. But I think it can be fun to connect with Krampus, despite the lore about Krampus being a figure that terrorizes, that goes after naughty children, that does corrective feedback in some intense punishment modes. I do think the idea of personifying kind of the beast of winter time and to have some interaction with that in a way can help reduce the stress of the winter time season and to actually have some fun with it. So I'd like to do a short meditation, and in this meditation, you will have the chance to connect with not only Krampus, but Santa. And I'm going to use the what I call the more universal term Santa, because not all of Santa is really taking the bishop form. Indeed, some of the old pagan god forms are woven into Santa. In fact, the goddess Hoda, who I mentioned previously, the winter solstice goddess from old Germany, well, a form of her, very Krampus-like in terms of depicting the harshness of the winter and things. So one of the fun things about crafting Krampus activities is that it can stimulate creativity. And so in that spirit, I invite you to join me in the next few moments as we take a Krampus journey. And we take this journey to get a better understanding of the Krampus and ways to therapeutically and effectively work with it as part of the larger picture connected with commerce and ways of being. So in the next few moments of quiet, get yourself into a safe place where you can take a short journey. Let yourself be centered. And then picture a screen in your mind's eye that serves as a portal. And in the portal, you see a mist. And you see evergreens. And you find yourself standing before the portal, and you get a sense it is time to step through. You step through the portal, and you find yourself at a crossroads. And in the distance, you see on one of the roads a horned beast coming to you. That is the Krampus. And you stand your ground and you summon up courage, and as the Krampus approaches, you go, "Greetings, Krampus. Why have you come? See what sense comes to you as you interact with the Krampus in this way." And the Krampus looks at you and says, "I am here to help dispel fear. I am here to help you release and dispel negativity within yourself. I am here as a personification of shadow to help you get in touch with the hidden, with the mysterious." In the next few moments of quiet, as you reflect on some of these possible ways of Krampus being with you, get a sense of how you would like to work with Krampus tonight. And then Krampus invites you to run with him down one of the roads at the crossroads. And if you choose to do that, you begin running with him. And as you run, you see other Krampus characters coming out and joining you, where there is a whole force of Krampus figures, and you come into a great public square, and there are townspeople and a big bonfire, and there's music, And there's laughter, there is dancing, there is revelry, there are tricks and pranks and fun. And as you gather around, you recognize that you can be at peace with the hidden dynamics within yourself, with the shadows that are within you. And now you transport yourself back to the crossroads, giving thanks to Krampus and all the other characters that are there. And this time, from the center, you look down another road that is connected with the crossroads, and you see off in the distance a Santa figure. And Santa comes closer, and Santa is the gift bringer, the healer, the renewer. Pay attention to what form Santa takes. Is Santa male, female, gender fluid? How is Santa dressed? And Santa is there to gift you with something and invites you to hold out your hands. And Santa presents an object to you. It might be in the form of a wrapped gift, in which case unwrap it, or it may be the gift itself. As you take a look at what Santa has given you, pay attention to what part of yourself that symbolizes. And as you receive the gift, you take it into yourself and you experience yourself growing and glowing, renewing, being joyful. And you give a gift to Santa, an expression of appreciation, or it can be some other kind of gift of your choosing. And you give Santa a hug. And as you do, the Krampus appears at the crossroads with you, standing side by side by the Santa figure. And then you realize the two merge, and they become one. They are the spirit of Yuletide. You embrace this united creature, this united Yuletide spirit character, as you do. Pay attention to what comes to mind. What images, words, sensations, perspectives emerge as you become one with Santa and Krampus combined. And now you give thanks to Santa and to Krampus. You give thanks to the crossroads. You give thanks to your ancestors. You give thanks to the spirit of Yuletide. And as we conclude this special Yuletide meditation, reflect on something that you take from the meditation, from this podcast tonight that you can weave into your Aung Yuletide observances this year. Make a note of it. And then imagine yourself putting that guidance, incorporating that into your Aung Yuletide celebration. We give thanks to Yuletide. We give thanks to the greater circle of nature of which we are all part. We give thanks to the survivals of old folk traditions that inform, that delight, that transform in good ways. We give thanks for inspiration, for connections, for the ability to carry on and be part of the living heritage of Yuletide celebrations. Many blessings and good Yule. So what are some things that you can do as follow-up to tonight's time with Santa and Krampus traditions? Well, figure out your own kind of Santa and or Krampus tradition that you can incorporate in your Yuletide this year. And certainly one thing is coming up real soon, Krampus night, tomorrow night, or for those who listen to this podcast much later, you can transfer that celebration to some other day during the Yuletide celebration. To actually tell the story of Krampus, tell the story of Santa, create your own kind of stories, having figures that you adorn your home with, and to do some research on your own. Indeed, there's a variety of articles in the popular press. There's scholarly articles. You can find it out in cyberspace. And indeed, there's other kinds of audio and video resources as well as written ones. I give thanks to everyone who's listened live tonight. I give thanks to all of you who will be listening later. And I wish you a happy, marvelous, magical Krampus night and Yuletide season and St. Nicholas Day, recognizing that there is a fluidity and a connectivity of Yuletide characters and Yuletide holidays, and that we do not have to limit ourselves to a particular day and night to celebrate the Yule, that we can be celebrating it multiple ways, old and new. We can evolve ways for our own celebrations. Many blessings. For more information about Yuletide celebrations, I invite you to go to the Circle Sanctuary website. I have a Celebrating the Seasons guide, and Yule has a variety of articles. I have Yule chants and meditations and rituals, links to some of the other podcasts I've done on different subjects. I also invite you to tune in to Nature Mystic as well as Nature Spirituality, my two podcasts. In the month of December 2019, I will be doing all sorts of different Yuletide programs, workshops, and rituals. And I invite you to tune in to other podcasts on the CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, network that we have of internet radio that Circle Sanctuary sponsors. For more information about Circle Sanctuary, find us on the web, www.circlesanctuary.org, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can find me on all three of those platforms as well. On Facebook, Selena Fox Updates, and there you'll find a schedule of my podcast as well as presentations that I'll be doing this month. And you can find me on Instagram and Selena Fox and on Twitter, Selena_Fox. I want to give thanks to David and Jeanette Ewing for their support of this podcast and our whole CSNP team, including Laura Gonzalez, Deborah Rose, and Casey Pope. I give thanks to everyone who is out there celebrating Yuletide. And for those of you who are in the Southern Hemisphere part of the world, I wish you good summer. And when your Yuletide comes around in 6 months, a blessed Yuletide then. Many blessings. Have a great night. Blessed be.
Buddha belly and his top's the holly king. You dressed him in that British coat, the cap's a Nordic thing. You took the horns right off his head and stuck them on his ear. But he still flies high like Jupiter with a belly full of beer. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too. Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Now history says Christ was likely not a Capricorn. If you want to share our Yule, we don't care when he's born. Come celebrate the dawning of the Sun King's bright rebirth. And if you practice what you preach, we'll all have peace on earth. Hey, Santa Claus is taking you just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too. Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's taking too. Way more jolly than most Christians would require. And if he weren't so busy, he'd be dancing around his fire. Yeah, you can call it Christmas, you got a sleigh outgun. But just you wait till Beltane, then we'll see who's having fun. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and take those cookies too. Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too. Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.